This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening, my name is Sue and you're listening to Hear Me Roar. Co-hosting with me tonight is the gorgeous Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Oh, lovely.
I love it when we sound so formal and then it just goes rampant.
Goes all go to hell, basically, doesn't it?
It does go to hell. Mm. And I would like to make a formal apology, Lisa.
Well, I believe you do owe an apology to the listener.
I do. I am sorry for belting out very, very badly Grease Lightning. I did warn them, Michael and Lulu, who did a fantastic show, didn't they?
They did. It was absolutely hilarious.
Hilarious. Sing-along stuff. And we belted out. But we had a revelation.
What was the revelation?
Philip, who read the news then and does such a fantastic job most Thursday nights with us, can belt out a tune.
Oh, yes, I did hear that he was actually in tune. I think you were the only one that wasn't in tune.
Go Grease Lightning. What's wrong with that? Mm. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't know.
Later on this hour, we're going to be talking to Karen Marlab. She's the board director of the Melbourne Community Foundation. Now, Karen is a social entrepreneur, and she channels her business skills and networks and profits and into making social change. So we're going to hear what she's doing to make the world a better place.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that. Mm. What's happening in our world?
Well, today, Same announced that they have a top 25 GLBT community members. And they include high-profile names like Olympic diver Matthew Mitchum, medical practitioner Karen Phelps, performer Sia, and Tim Campbell, of course. And, of course, my favourite, Ruby Rose. She's gorgeous.
Oh, she is absolutely gorgeous. I heard a conversation on this morning, brekkie time, and they were saying that Ruby would be the one they would turn for. She's up there on the list of the turn for.
Absolutely, and I think Tim Campbell would turn a girl or two.
I think he would.
He's pretty gorgeous.
I would. There's also a posthumous award given to poet Dorothy Porter and the first transgender female, Stephanie Imbruglia, which I had to laugh because I thought it might be Natalie.
Natalie's brother.
So congratulations to those people. The criteria is that they must be an Australian citizen who has publicly acknowledged that they are gay or lesbian.
Right.
And it should actually say intersex there. They could be someone who has a lot of influence over a large number of people, or they could be a behind-the-scenes worker who is highly respected for their chosen profession.
Right. It's about time there was a top list like that.
Yeah. Who was it? I was reading in the paper the other day and an actor said, do not come out because it will ruin your career. It was a guy actor. I wish I could remember the name. I looked at it and thought, oh, that's putting a lot of people back in the closet.
It is.
Understandably, though, from a professional career, because that's what happens, sadly.
Well, I think they're marketed towards certain age groups and certain demographics. Mm. And if you were to suddenly come out, then you've lost half your earning power.
Yeah.
That's why they do it.
They don't want you to know your doodle goes in a different place.
Well, it's poor old Rock Hudson.
Poor Rock. Well, he got married, didn't he?
Yeah.
To cover up. He smelt.
Did he?
I think Rock smelt. If you know, text in on 0427.
Rock stunk.
Rock stunk. Joy 949, because I think he had a smell issue or a teethy, mouthy issue. Now, the Melbourne Lord Mayor Robert Doyle and Melbourne for Paran Tony Lupton were amongst the special guests invited to launch the 2010 Midsummer Festival program. How cool's that?
I love Midsummer.
You do love
it. It's one of my favourite times of the year.
Because there's so much going on, isn't there?
And I have been a volunteer, so I think they're calling for volunteers at the moment. So if you're not doing anything, call Midsummer.
Call you.
Well,
call me now.
Call me
1300 Joy 949.
Yes.
But there's some signature events. Obviously, there's Midsummer Carnival, there's a tea dance and Pride March. Are you going to march in the Pride March, Lisa?
I think I might.
I think you better.
I think I better.
Hold the Joy banner.
Exactly.
What else is on?
Let me see. There's other highlights. Pink Shorts. We went to that last year. That was hilariously funny.
That was terrific. And they did a terrific show on it was a gay guidance counsellor, and she actually didn't listen and she just followed every stereotype. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
get along to that.
And what else is there? A dance work by Nexus, Gentlemen Prefer Blokes by Courtney Act and Trevor Ashley. That actually would be fun.
I like the title on that one.
Yeah, what else is there?
There's Queer City, which is a public art program And there's a whole lot of decades of costumes and images of transsexual drag artist Vivian St. James, who passed away recently. So there's exhibitions, there's everything for every delight. So you've got visual, audio, everything.
Now, can I just say, I was one of the volunteers for that Queer City 1 year.
What was?
I was.
Oh, okay.
I was one of the
hostesses.
And we started at the town hall and we had drinks.
Uh-oh. I feel a progressive.
Well, it got totally out of hand. And basically what had happened by the end of the city visit, everybody was so blind that it was a little bit of out of control. So
not very nice.
I didn't want to volunteering for that.
Well, and we have got a text in. It was Rupert Everett, see?
Oh, yes.
It was. It said, not to come out, it damages your career.
Right. Well, Rupert's all, you know, sort of, he was in the Julia Roberts movie.
Was he?
Best Friend's Wedding.
Oh, why is it that Julia Roberts movies make such a success? I mean, what is it? I don't get it.
No,
I've watched them, but it's kind of a brainless, it's Hollywood schmaltz, isn't it?
It is Hollywood schmaltz.
That bride thing was just stupid. Anyway, talking about stupid, the internet censorship could have ramifications for the GLBTI websites. Now, in a move that... Mr. Darling, rather Dud, has put forward. They are definitely, they've announced today that they are going to proceed with the compulsory internet filtering. Now, they did an independent test by Urnix Test Lab, which sounds like a condom, doesn't it?
Independent test.
I said bullshit. I shouldn't have said that. But it is that word that I shouldn't have said because I just can't believe it. Now, they trialled this and they said it's 100% accuracy, right? Now, the federal government has subsequently refused to reveal what gay websites, if any, may be restricted. So they're basically saying, look, yeah, not sure. But this is what they said. Conroe sought to assure Australians that they had no need to fear websites being blocked without good reason.
Right.
Now, to find good reason, they will not allow marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're over the marriage debate.
Right.
But, you know, is that good reason? The good reason we can't get married? They're saying, okay, well, you can't get married, therefore, you know, you can't do this. I just think it's disgusting. The censorship thing has gone a bit far.
Well, basically, you know, it'll stop our right to sort of look at things that we want to look at.
Yeah. And regardless, I mean, there are issues, you know, with my kids going on the internet. I'm uncomfortable. And there are things that I think are morally icky beyond the code. But to have this, what about sexual health?
Yes, exactly.
Are they not going to have images of, you know, condoms on? Or if it's not Catholic-based, is it not going to be okay? I'm not, you know, juicing the Catholics there. But, you know, I just don't see how they're going to do this as an okay thing. They're basically saying, let's all conform and be nice little marshmallows.
Yeah.
I don't like you, Mr. Rudd, now, Dan.
No.
Midsummer stinks. So do you.
Fantastic.
Thank you for that.
Yeah,
great. I don't stink. I actually smell... quite pretty.
Well, everybody's entitled their opinion.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Look, I like Midsummer. I'm not a carnival girl.
No.
I'm not a carnival girl, but I do. What accusations did I make? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm happy anyway.
Oh, so am I.
Are you happy?
Yep, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I'm sorry you're unhappy, but yeah, moving on.
Turn off.
You're listening to Hear Me Roar with Sue and Lisa. Tonight we're talking to Karen Mahlab. Did I get it right?
Mahlab. Oh. Well, Mahlab if it's in the Middle East.
Well, we just imagine we're in the Middle East. I wrote it down. Look,
it was very good. Mahlab. How did you know?
Oh, I try. I do try, even though sometimes I stink. Now... Which actually has been fixed up, hasn't it, Lisa?
It has.
Because the person said didn't hear anything before the sticky accusation, but I believe Midsummer is an awesome celebration of our freedom of expression. And it is.
It is. Fantastic. It is.
Except I don't like wearing fluoro that much.
or leather chaps, perhaps.
Oh, well, only on Sundays. Mm. Sorry, Karen. This is just what we do.
Uh-huh.
Now, you are an amazing woman. Just off air then, I got confused, which wasn't hard because I said, what do you do? And it was basically several umbrellas were thrown at me.
That's true.
You're an amazing woman.
Oh, well, I think a lot of women are amazing and do multiple things at the same time.
We do. I was talking to somebody about that today. But you do kind of stuff that extend into the community.
Yes.
So what we want to know is what you're doing now, because you are involved in the Melbourne Community Foundation.
I am. I've been a volunteer, really. I'm on their board, and I've been a volunteer on their board for the last 8 years.
And what is it?
The Melbourne Community Organisation Foundation is an organisation that really links up people who want to give philanthropic money to organisations in the community, charitable organisations in the community, credible charitable organisations.
And there's so many, aren't there? There's so many initiatives and these great groups coming through. There's these needs.
Yeah.
And a lot of the problem is we just don't have funding.
We don't have funding, and there are so many organisations doing so many good things in the community that one of the questions is, how do you find the good ones who are doing work that will be effective over time and effective in what they do? So it's really important. It's easy to give away money. It's hard to give it away well.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And it's hard to know where to get that money. I know that I've applied through Gantz because I'm a teacher at a school, and I've applied through Gantz, and the paperwork and all that sort of stuff that's involved, because it's not just here. Well, in the days of old, 10 years ago, you could say, I need $10,000, and it was kind of shipped your way as long as you had a great reason.
Yeah.
Now there's just so much paperwork.
Do you find that, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really changed, and it's narrowed down into how much funding is available.
Yes, I guess, from
the departments.
Yeah. Well, we are growing in population. The number of organisations is growing enormously over the last 10 years. There are about 600,000 community organisations in Australia. About 59,000 of them are what are called economically significant organisations, in that they've got some kind of employee. And there are about 25,000 who have tax deductible status, so
that's a lot.
They cover enormous breadth of Australian society, but they also provide a huge richness in who we are.
Because if we didn't have these groups, I guess I can't, well, it's not necessarily a minority group, but if we didn't have these groups, we wouldn't be where we are. Speaking out, for instance, Joy in itself, which has been going 16 happy birthday to us, Lisa. Oh, she's not going to look at me.
She's thinking about something else.
Just sing happy birthday.
The next interview, the next song.
I will do that.
She'll do that. It's groups like this that are making a real change and a voice within our community, and they wouldn't exist without funding at some level.
Absolutely. And there is a movement more and more, and this is part of something that I'd really want to encourage, of social enterprise, where you've got organisations like Charcoal Lane in Gertrude Street that are set up by organisations like Mission Australia, which is a beautiful restaurant.
We know. We interviewed them last week.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Stephanie Simpson came in from Mission Show.
So that it has a purpose of training people who wouldn't necessarily get jobs elsewhere without the training or be trained in the restaurant environment, but provides great service and food to the people who visit it. So it works for all parties. Yeah,
because that's same for Indigenous, and I guess kids are hard, aren't they luck?
Yeah.
For want of a better term.
Yeah.
Kids that have had a hard battle.
Yes, yeah.
And what a great program.
And there's a lot of programs around Australia and around the world that are starting up like that. There was a Social Enterprise World Forum in Melbourne not so long ago that had 600 people attending with great ideas about how to do good for the world and have sustainable organisations at the same time. Really interesting stuff. It's a whole movement.
How does that work then? Okay, we've got these great ideas, and we could have the best ideas in the world, and they can't come to fruition unless we tap into the right resources. You've got 600 people attend with, maybe 599 of those are superb ideas, and one is, something that's just not going to work.
Well, a lot of them are actually getting off the ground with the help of funders and people who can see that there might be an economic model to some of these ideas that would make them sustainable financially in the long term. That's the that's the idea, to have good social outcomes and to be financially sustainable in themselves.
So it's not just here, we'll give you some money. It has to have that vision to sustain itself over
time.
Well,
it's the same as any small business.
Mm.
You know, a small business up front needs capital investment to get it up and going, and so does social enterprise.
Well, say we've got a group who there's different groups that have started. I'm just thinking of a GLBTI kind of group, and there's a need, and they've got,
who's this GLBTI?
The gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex.
Right,
it's
okay.
The alphabet.
Thank you.
Of the rainbow alphabet. And you have a group there for, say, transgender Victoria. They do a sensational job, but they've got this project and they want to start something off. They would then perhaps come to you or how do they do it?
Well, the Melbourne Community Foundation has about 150 sub-funds under management. So overall, we manage about $30 million worth of investments that of those 150 sub-funds who have put in, who've decided to set up a fund to give away money.
Thank you.
Yeah. And last year we gave away about $2.5 million and each of those sub funds and the people involved with the Melbourne Community Foundation have different interests. So some may be German opera, some may be you know, the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, some may be gay and lesbian groups, whatever it is, and we distribute the money to those organisations.
What about on the other side of the coin where you've got these people who are giving and want to give? How did they, do they just go, look, I've got this money?
Well, people who have got this money and they say, okay, we can give here, but they might know what to give to to make a difference. That's where something like the Melbourne Community Foundation comes in, where we've got a grants grants experience and a grants advisor, because you need to be giving to organisations that have tax deductible status if you want to make your money effective in the first place. And we then advise the organisations that we've come across who do things well in the past. And this project, the Macro Melbourne Initiative, which comes out of the Melbourne Community Foundation, is in fact doing that. We've identified 14 projects of interest in the growth areas of Melbourne.
And define the growth areas of Melbourne. What do you mean by that?
There are defined by the Victorian government, these areas called growth areas. So let me see if I can. Melton, Wyndham, Cardinia, Casey,
so a lot of the western
Whittlesea,
suburbs.
They kind of spread out to the north. Hume. They spread out to the north and the east and the west of Melbourne.
The sprawl areas.
The sprawl areas, the areas which actually haven't been developed yet. And the government is thinking infrastructure. They've got the infrastructure, basic infrastructure planning done where the hospitals and schools are. But there hasn't been much of a social policy overlay. Like, if, for example, in Casey, the population has gone over a five-year period from where you had 6% migrant population to 24% migrant population, that's an enormous influx of a whole group with a different culture. You know, how do you absorb difference into a community? And so that's the kind of social policy discussions that haven't really been had yet, and that this Macro Melbourne project are bringing light to. So we've identified 14 projects that we've discussed at length with the councils and organisations that do some work out there, because the inner city is really well serviced with organisations who cater for migrant groups. Well, you know,
well,
there
we
can always be more,
But
in those growth areas, there's very little. So this is a focus on those growth areas this time.
So I guess out in those areas, there are a lot of people then quite isolated, even though they're in a big community. And they haven't got the, I guess, the hall to go into.
They haven't got the hall. They don't have the buses. They don't have the language. They don't have the, maybe, the work permits. They don't have the skills. They don't have the connections, you know. Enormous isolation and, you know, a whole raft of huge issues. So if they're not, if new immigrants, for example, go into a new community and they aren't integrated and introduced properly, then what's going to happen in the future, you know?
I like this.
Yes.
I'm liking this a lot.
Yeah.
Stay around for a little bit longer.
Yep.
I'm going to unlock the door. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. We're just going to follow up a couple of texts. Now, I can't kind of work this out. Something should go live somewhere, or they'll be hanged, beheaded, or at least in prison for even thinking about such a thing. Melbourne is such an oasis of liberation in an increasingly dry desert of conservatism and right-wing abuse of individuals' freedom. Nurse James, I am on your side on that one. I think that obviously is in regard to Mr. Rudd the Dud. We don't like you. I don't like you. I'm sorry. Make that an accusation. Does it go on? Hi, Sue and friends. Everyone should be emailing Stephen Conroy of Epping about this internet-based discrimination. If you'd like to ring 1300-JOY-949, we can give you out that email. By the way, happy International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. Oh, hello, Christian. Christian, I interviewed Christian. It's the same Christian.
On Allegro and on Chopro.
Yeah. That was a fantastic and a very thing. And I'm sorry, it was Rock Hodson is one of up. I don't know what
that is. That one of us?
Oh, one of us. Yeah, Rock,
he, here
Rock
he was.
Was.
Yeah, he was one of us.
But I think he smelt.
That's what we were saying, he smelt.
Karen, do you remember? Was it Rock that smelt?
Johnny Depp supposedly smells.
Yes, he doesn't shower.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, not nice.
I still think he's nice.
Everybody thinks Johnny Depp. Even the lesbians love Johnny Depp.
I know, there's something about that man.
Same as Ruby Rose. You know, everybody likes this kind of sort of edgy dark. Yeah. But he doesn't shower.
It's a pirate's.
It's a pirate thing. Yeah. Or the chocolate. I mean, you just go, oh. See what happens. See what happens. It's just all gone to...
See, we could be tempted back to the dark side.
That's where you...
We could. But I wouldn't do it for Johnny. I'd go with the other guy, George Clooney.
Oh,
you would.
See?
I know. He's a universal man,
yeah,
too.
He is.
A renaissance. See? They're both kind of got semi-renaissance men thing about them.
It's kind of got that... I'll be quiet, Lisa. Oh, turn your microphone off.
All right, I will.
Now, laughing in the background there, obviously, is Karen Marlab.
Mm-hmm.
Was that better that time?
Yeah. Marlab.
Marlab. Like Skylab. I should have said Ma, like Skylab. She said I couldn't call her Skylab. She's on the board of Melbourne Community Foundation. Now, you were also named as a finalist in the Victorian Telstra Business Awards in 1997. That's pretty fantastic.
Thank you.
Even more awe-inspired, but I'm just going to move on the fact because I wasn't. So tell us about Pro Bono Australia. Now, what is it and when did it start?
Pro Bono Australia started something I started about 10 years ago, and we're at our 10-year anniversary, which is fantastic. It has been the most joyful ride. The idea for Pro Bono Australia came when I was actually on a 3-month sabbatical, had young kids, and thought about what I really, really wanted to do, and read this incredible book called The E-Myth, which made you picture yourself dead in a coffin surrounded by gold and all the people you loved.
I don't know about that, Karen. It sounds a bit morbid.
Worked for me.
Whatever gets you off there.
And you had to think about what would you want them to be saying about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it really put you in that place of what you wanted to do, what direction you wanted to head. And I had my publishing business, which I've still got at the now, Marlab Group. But business for the sake of doing business, straight business, just didn't ring my bells. But what was really exciting 10 years ago was what was happening with technology. And what I'd always really enjoyed was the community sector, doing things in the community sector. So at that time, I decided to combine technology and community interest to start one of the first portals, as it was called then, for not-for-profit organisations in Australia, and named it Pro Bono Australia. And what we still do is information. We've got Australia's largest news service for the not-for-profit sector. We publish a directory of not-for-profit organisations. We've got a site called Volunteer Match, which matches skilled professionals with organisations looking, not-for-profit organisations looking for professional skills.
Tell me a bit more about that one. So you've got these professionals who make contact with
online.
I've got these great skills, I've got bookkeeping or whatever, and I'm great with whatever.
Yep.
Can you link me up with somebody?
Yes, and the not-for-profit organisations who we know through the directory of not-for-profit organisations post their opportunities onto the website. So that one's volunteermatch.com.au, and we're just combining it into the Pro Bono Australia website, which is probono australia.com.au. And I set it up under a business structure, but it's what I called 10 years ago a social purpose business venture.
It was
new at the time. Now it's kind of like a social business or social enterprise, back to that whole discussion. But it's been an absolute joy over the last 10 years kind of pulling that one together. The people that I have met in this space are just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
That does make a big difference, isn't it? It's not, it's the journey along the way and the people you meet.
Yeah.
even working here, I have met the most amazing people.
Yeah.
So you would have met the most amazing people who, A, want to give away money on one thing.
Yeah.
People that have got great ideas and are doing great things in the community and can do something.
Yes.
And you're maxing up these people who've got great skills with these terrific organisations. Have you got the best?
Joy. It's all joy.
It's all joy. You must have the best kind of volunteering normal jobs in the world. You must love your work.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely love my work. What can I say?
She's smiling. She loves her work.
Yeah, I do.
What about these organisations? You said they go online. How do they get to know about you? I didn't know that this existed. Yes, I work here and I work in a school.
Yeah, we've just been ticking away. But I think this whole sector and the organisations like ours are really coming to the fore. I think there's a real shift towards people wanting to connect up with community and community organisations. That whole bigger picture of needing more search for meaning, whatever you call it. Particularly, I'm kind of encouraging post GFC that we don't go back to the way we were.
But you see a lot in the corporate world, coming from the non-corporate world myself in one way, and you see these people just sort of fighting their way through that, and they hate their jobs.
They
hate the books, and they sit at a computer or they're in meetings and it's playing a game and it's just it's
politics
and kind of a meaningless soul. And they do something that actually they're not getting paid for.
Yeah. Well, one of the features of the last 10 years that Pro Bono Australia has been around is the growth of corporate social responsibility as a movement where, and, you know, there are pluses and minuses about it, and some corporates are getting better at doing it, but a lot of them are looking at doing it in some form, whether it's setting up a philanthropic foundation out of the corporation, whether it's setting up volunteer programs for their employees, whether they set up something like workplace giving, which is something that the Melbourne Community Foundations helps corporates to do.
What's that, workplace giving? I give enough. What is that?
You do, yeah. There are a lot of people out there who don't.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
So workplace giving is about setting up structures. They're quite easy to set up in any workplace where employees who work there can donate a certain percentage or a certain amount each week. Small, tiny amounts that kind of go into a central fund that the company either decides with their employees how to give away, or the employees select which organisations they want to give away to.
I guess that
makes it easy.
Yeah, on similar lines to the what's it called? Casual day. A lot of companies have casual day kind of thing, and they donate $2 a day or whatever.
Yep.
You do that, don't you, Lisa?
Or different programs.
Mm. Mm. Definitely.
Mm. So corporates are kind of, they're looking at that area. They're finding that the benefit for the organisation through increased satisfaction of their employees.
Yeah. A lot of the big companies, don't they? The big computer companies I've heard have these amazing volunteering and kind of ancillary programs now. It's not just about the dollar anymore. It's actually about the people, which is really nice.
Yes, absolutely.
We have to round things off, but I don't want you to go. I am going to lock the door. But where to from here, from you? Is there anywhere? Where else can you go? What else can you do?
Oh, just watch this space. There's more to come.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
Getting in contact with you or the Melbourne Community Foundation or, God, there's so many. What's the other one?
The Melbourne Community Foundation has a website, melbournecf.org.au, and their number is 9-412-0412.
And who's that for?
That's for the Melbourne Community Foundation.
No, who would want to contact that foundation?
That's for anyone who wants to give money or set up a fund and wants to be linked up with organisations who will, so that they can give well.
Yes.
So that's what the Melbourne Community Foundation does.
And the other people who actually could use those funds and have got terrific ideas, they can also link in with that
They can.
Site?
Yep.
And where else?
Pro Bono? Pro Bono Australia is probonoaustralia.com.au, and just go and have a look and look at what's happening in the sector via our new service, or if you want to volunteer, go onto Volunteer Match and post your skills, your professional skills, and take it from there.
Oh, Lisa, you're around.
I am in awe. I think you do a fantastic job,
does.
Actually.
She awesome. So terrific. And she's bought some, we've got some onlookers in the studio and everything.
My son and his friend, JJ. Yes.
Hello,
and Ben.
My son and JJ. What are
no,
your names?
No, JJ's my son.
JJ and?
Ben.
Hi, JJ and Ben.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
They've made it to
JJ's
Radio Stardom.
JJ's 13 and Ben is 2.
Yes. True. Well, they're heading out for dinner and we're heading off to a song.
We are.
I think, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Karen, for coming in. Yeah, will you come back again?
Sure.
We'd love to hear about a particular project maybe. So,
there are lots of great projects in this particular Macro Melbourne initiative. Yeah.
So in 2010, come back with a particular project and run us through it from start to finish and where it started and how it's going.
Yeah, done.
That'd be terrific. Traffic. Terrific.
Terrific.
Oh, God. You're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.